It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back to throw. They pick up the blitz. Throws one left down the sideline into the end zone. Touchdown! Hakeem Nicks! Vic takes the snap again. Pumps. He's going to get sacked by Tuck. Fumbles the football. Giants have it at the 26-yard line. Draw right for Bradshaw. Cuts at the one. Goes into the end zone. Touchdown. Nice run by Bradshaw to run it in for 4 yards out. Manning will throw on first and 10. Keeps one deep down the left side for Manningham, who makes the catch, gallops out of a tackle to the 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Johnny Schmelk, Lance Meadow, and a very, very happy Monday here on Giants.com. Giants go down to Philadelphia, and they defeat the Philadelphia Eagles in dramatic fashion, 29-16. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls all morning long. We expect, hopefully, we've got some happy Giant fans. Usually you guys are complaining. We expect to get some very happy Giant fans calling in at 201-939-4513. And, of course, on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. And, Lance, I think everybody was surprised by this. The Giants' defense contained the Eagles' offense, and the Giants' offense made some big plays.
Yeah, I mean, Victor Cruz certainly took advantage of his playing time. Mario Manningham out with a concussion. Cruz obviously had an increase in snaps, and he made two fantastic touchdowns, one of which he broke about three tackles en route to getting to the end zone, and the other one was in front of two defenders, one of which was Nnamdi Asamoah. So he certainly was a huge spark plug in the Giants' game plan. But, you know, I think their attack yesterday was perfect based on what the Eagles presented on defense, John. You know, the Eagles showed a lot of blitzes, a lot of pressure, and what Manning did was he didn't panic. His decision-making was on key yesterday. He relied on his running backs. They utilized the screen passes a lot yesterday, and you know what? That is the best way to attack a team that constantly gets pressure on a quarterback.
Ahmad Bradshaw had a lot of success running that screen pass. He obviously had the touchdown late in the game on the screen. He made a couple big plays earlier in the game on screen passes as well. And you're right, that's how you slow down a pass rush. That's how you make sure a team who likes to get after the quarterback can't necessarily get after the quarterback as much as they would like. Let's talk about the Giants' defense, too. You got to give Perry Fuel some credit. And really, he did exactly what we talked about on Friday. He played the safeties back most of the game. He left the corners in zone. You make Michael Vick read the defense, sustain long drives down the field. Don't let them make any big plays. They got to the quarterback and hit Vick with only four guys. Didn't have to blitz a whole lot. And all of a sudden, you do play good red zone defense. You don't let the Eagles get into the end zone, and they don't have a lot of points.
Stellar red zone defense. I mean, if there's anything to commend on this defense, like you said, the strategy coming in was on key. But how about the Eagles getting there five times in the red zone, John, and only walking away with one touchdown? And as good as the defensive ends have been this season, how about the interior play of guys like Canty, Joseph, and Bernard, who I thought were spectacular yesterday in terms of really clogging up the middle? I mean, there was a play where they had three opportunities literally from the one-yard line, yep, and the Giants denied them on every opportunity. I mean, they were running Owen Schmidt up the middle. As we were talking about before we went on here, I mean, the guy hasn't seen the field in 2 years.
I mean, not exactly great play calling by Andy Reid in that situation, or during the game as well. I thought it was a bad decision to go for it on fourth and one in the fourth quarter, the way the Giants' offense had really stalled for a couple of quarters. You punt it there, you pin him inside the 10, you see what happens. I thought that was a strange decision. And then you mentioned the goal line. You don't get the ball into the hands of your best player, LeSean McCoy. You don't take advantage of Vic's athleticism by rolling him out on a play or running maybe an option with McCoy or something. You just pound it up the middle, and you're not a power team. You're not playing to your strength. I thought it was a strange move.
You have to wonder, you know, I know Vic came out of this game with a broken non-throwing arm, but the Giants got their fair share of hits on him, and I have to believe that, you know, they sent the message early, and I'm not saying that he was hesitant throughout the course of the game, but perhaps there's a few other injuries that he suffered over the course of this game.
Throwing hand, by the way, Lance, not throwing arm.
Well,
throwing arm
would
be a ball dive, yes.
Throwing arm, yes. Well, listen, after that, the way Michael Vick was throwing the ball, he may have had to use his leg, but the bottom line is, yes, to clarify, it was his non-throwing hand. But I have a feeling that the Giants took so many hits on Vic that he had to think twice whether or not he wanted to run up the field, because most of his runs over the course of the game, obviously the Giants prevented the big plays, but, you know, I sensed a bit of hesitancy in terms of him really taking it up the gut and doing what he normally does.
Yeah, I think the Giants got him out of rhythm. I think he was afraid of getting hit. I think he was always worrying about the pass rush rather than looking downfield to make a big play down the field. And like we said, the Giants, the way they worked their defense, they were not going to let DeSean Jackson get behind them. They were not going to let Macklin get behind them at the safety position. And really, the defense prevented the Eagles from making big plays, and they're a big play offense. So give Perry Fuel and the defense a lot of credit. We'll talk about more of the big plays in this game as we move forward. And, of course, give us a call at 201-939-4513 or send in your questions on Twitter to hashtag GiantsChat. Let's go to our phones, and Bob's in Pennsylvania. Bobby, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Great show, guys.
Thanks, Bob.
I'm very happy today, very giddy.
You should be, especially in Pennsylvania, man.
I don't want to nitpick about anything today. It was just a great win, especially over the Eagles. But I'd like to see the time of possession in our favor reversed there, where we could get that running game established. Because if on that, when we were losing, you know, by two, and Eli threw up a jump ball into double coverage, everybody would have been calling about different things today if that was intercepted. And also, I'd also like to say, anybody have an idea as to why we didn't go for 2 points at the end of the game during that last touchdown to make it 14?
No, that's a good question. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can figure a reason why.
Well, I do the math and remember last year as to how quick you can score 2 touchdowns.
Well, I mean, I think if memory serves me correct, even a field goal at that opportunity, they were assuming that even if they got another possession, I believe the Eagles still would have needed more than a field goal to win the game, because the Giants would have been up by about 4 points in that situation.
Now, quite honestly, Lance, he's probably
13.
Right.
Oh, the last touchdown.
Yeah,
probably,
yeah, honestly, at 28-16 with 3:39 to go, you should probably go for 2 there to make it 14 points.
They should have went for 1 on the previous touchdown, because if the Eagles scored a touchdown, we would have needed a field goal to tie it and not go ahead. So it's like, if you're staying with that, you want to make it 6 points, 2 field goals, why wouldn't you stick with it and say, we don't want 2 touchdowns to beat us now? But that's nitpicking. I'm just saying, I'd like to see us get that running game going, because that's how we're going to make any hay. And, you know, we had the big plays yesterday, which was great, but the time of possession should be double, you know, in our favor when we're playing a team like the Eagles, who've got all those explosive weapons. But again, hey, great day.
Now, Bob, no question, and thanks a lot for the call. As for that 2-point conversion play, I honestly, if I was a coach, I probably wouldn't have gone for 2, but frankly, it ended up working out, because the way the game ended up going, the Eagles need a couple scores instead of the 1. They couldn't just get the field goal, and it ended up working out well for the Giants that Tom Coughlin did go for 2, and that's why he's on the sidelines and we're sitting there watching TV, because he made the right decision in the end regarding that. In terms of time of possession, Lance, you live with McCoy running the ball against the Eagles. You don't want them getting those 70-yard passes down the field. To me, you live with that.
Yeah, that was the sacrifice they made. They said, we're not going to give up the big play down the field through the passing game, so we'll let McCoy get his yardage in bits and pieces. But the other point I wanted to bring up in respect to time of possession, Eagles had just over 36 minutes, Giants had just over 23. You have to understand, their first 2 touchdowns, one was off a series of 3 plays. Right. Another one was off a series of 6 plays. They scored in quick bursts, the Giants. So it was the Eagles that did things in bits and pieces. The Giants just, how can you blame them? It was just how the game played out. They scored very quickly. They didn't need to have these drives that went 80 to 90 yards, right, whereas the Eagles needed to work for that. So that's why the time of possession was more in favor of the Eagles than in the Giants. You have to look at how the game played out.
No question.
Before you say whether or not it hurt them from a strategic standpoint.
And again, it was more of a bend but don't break type of defensive approach by the Giants, where you want the Eagles to have these long extended drives, because you don't want those big bang plays to DeSean Jackson. You complain about time of possession, that's fine. I'd be getting a lot more calls today complaining that DeSean Jackson's running past safeties for deep balls, if you're worried about stopping McCoy on the run.
And he's done that in the past, which we clearly have seen. So, you know, I agree with you from that perspective. It's hard to nitpick in terms of time possession, how that maybe hurt them. The only thing you could argue is, if you give the Eagles long sustained drives, remember, you're keeping your defense on the field for a long period of time, and you don't want to wear those guys down.
And you saw Perry Fuel actually rotate defensive linemen a lot throughout the game because of that. 201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Mike, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's up, man? Good morning, guys.
What's up, Mike?
How you doing, Mike?
Yo, Schmelk, what you think about Mike Vick crying up on the podium, right, man? This guy, he's out of his mind, man. I mean, come on. If you're going to play the game like a man. If he would have got the victory, he wouldn't be up there crying like a baby. What you think about that, Schmelk?
Well, look, I'm not going to sit here and take shots at Michael Vick. The guy tried to pit with a broken hand, which obviously is a tough thing to do. But look, the Giants shut him down. And, you know, there was some talk back and forth during the week from Vick towards the Giants. And, you know, obviously Vince Young with his dream team comment in the offseason. And the Giants shut Michael Vick down. They beat him up. They didn't let him get the ball down the field, and they played great.
We finally got a victory over those Tweety Birds, man, and I feel great about it. We gotta continue on with the progress. Ross, he's finally stepping up. Victor Cruz dancing merengue in the end zone. We gotta see more of that, man. Definitely.
Dancing merengue in the end zone. I like that, man.
Yeah, yes, sir. All day.
All right, man. Appreciate the call, bro. I like this. Jai fans are happy this morning, Lance.
Well, listen, the tide has turned, apparently. I mean, that's what happens when you come back with a big victory like this over a team that, you know, it is ironic a little bit, John, which we didn't bring up yet, and we'll get back to your phone calls in a little bit, but the fact that, you know, this was a team that they failed to execute in the fourth quarter against in their last meeting, yet what happens yesterday?
Turned on its head.
The complete opposite. That's what I thought was astounding. A completely different, mental process come the fourth quarter. Let's head back to the lines. We've got John in Atlanta. John, you're on Giants.com. What's on your mind?
How you doing this morning? Transplanted Giant fan here. I just wanted to make a comment about Eli's play yesterday. He looked great. He's looked great all year. And maybe this will shut the Eli bashers up that I've been looking at on Facebook. All they've been doing is bashing Eli. If they know anything about football and go back and look at the games, Eli's looked great this year. You can't blame that loss on him.
No question. I think Lance and I have been kind of tired of taking the bashing Eli Manning calls throughout the first couple weeks of this year because they're off base. And if you look at Eli Manning in this game, he would have had another big play to Victor Cruz earlier in the game on the throw he just kind of overthrew him on. Victor Cruz slowed down in midfield before the ball got in the air. If he continues to run full speed throughout that whole play, it's a touchdown. Then that other great play.
He also needs to look the ball into his hands. If you notice, he's looking upfield before he catches the ball on every catch. Even that touchdown catch where he ran the length of the field. He was looking downfield before that ball got in his hands.
He's hearing footsteps.
That's been one of Victor Cruz's issues. Mentally, he has to realize I have to secure the football first before I think about what I'm going to do with my next move. I mean, we've seen that over the first two games. But I think redemption is the key word to utilize here when you're talking about Victor Cruz because he certainly did that yesterday by having those two big touchdowns, regardless of whether the X's and O's wasn't executed to perfection.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, it was great talking to you guys. Love my Giants. Glad to see the Falcons lose down here. Giant fan forever right here, buddy.
I appreciate the call, man. 201-939-4513. And Lance, you mentioned redemption. No other player had more redemption in this game than Aaron Ross with those two interceptions. One short-circuiting an Eagle drive in the red zone. One of the times the Giants, obviously the pass went right off Steve Smith's hands, popped right to Aaron Ross. And then, of course, he had the big play at the end on Mike Kafka's first pass of the game when he tried to go deep to DeSean Jackson. Aaron Ross went up and got it, made the play, and that really went a long way towards help sealing the victory in the fourth quarter.
Listen, we got calls the last few weeks, John, about how people were saying, where is Aaron Ross?
Just killing him.
Killing him. I mean, they were calling for the Michael Cole bandwagon to come in and start each and every down. And now, all of a sudden, I'm assuming the thought process of most Giants fans at this point is, I think Aaron Ross has bought himself a couple of more games to give himself an opportunity to continue to prove that he can be a starting cornerback in this league.
Well, remember, he was a first-round pick. It should come as no surprise that the guy is physically capable of being a starter in this league. He did it as a rookie. He was hurt a few years, but it was nothing debilitating like a torn ACL or a popped Achilles or anything like that. He's healthy this year. He's on his contract year. And he made two huge plays against the Eagles.
But I still say, you know, he coming into this season, he was going to be a key bench player in the nickelback formation. So no matter how many reps he's had in the past and his college resume, I still think you need time, regardless of whether you're a veteran, to still reacclimate yourself to the system and adjust. And I think the two games, you know, to start this season were sort of the preseason mode still. And I think now you're seeing him more and more in a comfort zone, knowing what the expectations are from Perry Fuel. Before we get back to the phones, though, John, I just want to throw out one thing from a Twitter here. Miami Zeus picking up on the Eli Manning support here. He goes, you know, he points out that Eli's been a Philly killer, 8 touchdowns and 1 interception in the last 2 games versus the Eagles. So I think it's time to show some love for Eli Manning, as he writes.
No doubt about it. 201-939-4513. Carlos in Middle East. In the Middle East. Oh, Carlos, what's going on, man? You're overseas, brother?
Yeah, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Doing good, Carlos. Where are you? Well, where you at?
I'm at a deployed location. I really can't say.
Understood, Carlos. No problem.
Airport.
Well, thank you for what you do for our country. We appreciate that.
Thank you for your service, Carlos.
No worries. I was the one involved last year with the flyover for the opening day. So
oh, very cool. Very cool. Here.
Hey, my question has to do with what are we going to do with JPP? He's doing great when OC gets back. It's a good problem to have, but just thinking about that, when OC gets back, we got two monsters on that end, and what are some of the things that we can do?
Well, Carlos, I think you're going to see JPP used a lot. Remember, it's going to take OC a little while to work his way back. He's not going to play, you know, 60, 65, 70 snaps his first game back. So you're going to see them both rotate there. And I think what you'll start seeing on pass rush downs is JPP move inside the tackle a little bit on third downs and second and longs. I think you also see him rotate at the opposite defensive end spot. You saw Tuck yesterday having a check out of the game, getting his neck worked on. That might be an injury that he has to manage all year long. We'll see. And if that's the case and he has to rotate out, you can always slide JPP over to the opposite side. Believe me, the coaches see what he's doing, just like you are, Carlos. They will figure out ways to use him and take advantage of his athleticism.
Awesome. Well, it's a good problem to have.
No point.
You guys know, man, you guys got a great giant following here overseas. So keep up the good work.
Well, that's good to hear. And once again, we thank you for your service to our country. And, you know, listen, that's the point we're here for. We're here to reach out to both the national fans, the international fans. This is a great resource here on Giants.com to keep track of the team, you know, whether it be through shows or information.
And, of course, the Giants, huge supporters of our nation's military. We send our love out to you guys over there. You're doing a job that none of us have to do to keep us safe. It's so we can do what we do. And hopefully we're doing a decent job keeping you guys entertained out there, doing that very tough and difficult work. Back to the phones at 201-939-4513. Let's go to Mike in Paterson, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's going on,
Mike?
I just
want to say, man, like all the Facebook haters and everything talking about we're losing Steve Smith and Jerry Reese is not doing his job. We have monsters on our team. We're all injured and we're still holding it down. I don't see any excuses coming from anywhere. Like I said, Steve Smith, the last interception that came out, Steve Smith, it was a tip.
And yeah, you know, Mike, and I'll tell you what, it was one of those situations where as the pass is in the air, I'm sitting there and I'm groaning. I'm like, oh, no. He's going to catch a third down in the red zone. That's going to catch it.
He dropped a yard short. By the way, I was at the game. It was great. I loved it. Oh, my God. The Giants fan that were at the game, respect to all of them because we did our thing, boy, and it got real quiet in there really quick.
I'll tell you what.
Best feeling ever.
After that Kafka interception to Aaron Ross, you saw the green start to slowly fade out of that stadium as all the Eagles fans headed towards the exit. It was actually a pretty cool thing to watch.
You know what? That's almost embarrassing because there was still time on the clock, and I was like, not even being an Eagles fan, I'm like, these guys could maybe, you know, come back.
I know.
The Eagles fans themselves knew. They're not champions over there. Get out of here. Eagles, baby. Giants.
All right, man.
Good
appreciate
the
call,
guys.
Bro.
I love it. Giants
thank you.
All the way, baby. Let's go.
Oh, they're coming out of the woodwork today, lads.
Sheagles. That's a new one.
That's not bad.
Tweety Birds and Sheagles. I like
these. I need to start writing these down.
Apparently, I need to do that.
You know what, though? It's good to see. You are seeing some confident, happy Giant fans this morning, and you know what? Rightfully so. They beat a division rival, a team that beat them 6 straight times into Philadelphia, and now all of a sudden, the Giants, with the Redskins and the Cowboys having not played yet, they are in sole possession of first place in the NFC East.
And also for the fans that looked at the calendar and looked at the schedule and saw the first 6 games and said, hey, the Giants could go 5-1. You know, we'll pencil in a loss for the Eagles game. You can now make the argument, well, the Eagles game cancels out the Redskins
game.
No
question.
And everybody's still online to get those 5 wins. So everybody who sat at home with the mathematical equations and said, we take care of business in the first half, we can afford to lose a game or two in the second half of the 8, Giants apparently are still on schedule.
Of course, now that Bills game, though, a few weeks from now, doesn't look quite so easy. 201-939-4513. Our good pal, Timothy, in Jackson, New Jersey. What's up, Tim?
I got a question for you guys.
Sure.
Can the Giants win the NFC East by dethroning last year's NFC East champion Eagles?
Well, I mean, it helps. I mean, Tim, it certainly helps. They're in first place now. They're the beginning part of the schedule, I think, was probably a little bit softer, at least going by what the other teams did last season. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're putting themselves in good position as long as they can take care of business the next few weeks, Lance.
When it comes down to tiebreakers, you know, when you beat your division rivals, it can only help down the road. So that's why we emphasize the fact that divisional games are that much more important. And the reason being is because look at the Giants last season. You know, you're a 10-win team and you miss out on the playoffs because of tiebreaker situation.
And especially starting the season losing to Washington, you do not want to start the year 0-2 in the division.
No, it certainly comes back to haunt you later on.
All right, folks, we are taking your calls today at 201-939-4513. We also have the questions just flying in on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. We will certainly get to that and take a look at those questions as well. But for now, the phones are still very busy, so we're going to hit them, and we're going to go to Aaron up in the Bronx. Aaron, what's up, pal?
What's up, guys? Since Cruz scored two TDs, unbelievable ones at that, do the Giants think of starting him as the wide receiver?
I think it's a little too quick, Aaron, to be honest with you, to committing to Victor Cruz long-term. I think you like the fact that he made plays. And quite frankly, those weren't easy plays. The first catch where he scored the touchdown was a fairly easy catch. He beat the defender. But he made two guys miss on a great move after the catch. He got into the end zone. And on the second play, he was double-teamed, and Eli Manning trusted him to just basically chuck the ball up there, and Victor Cruz made a play. So those two plays had a lot more to do with Victor Cruz, quite frankly, than they had to do with Eli Manning, and you got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
All right, Aaron, thanks for the phone call. And I think what you also need to take away from the Victor Cruz touchdowns is, you know, he needed confidence for himself.
No question.
And as well as having faith from the coaching staff. But I think what this did was this gave him a mental boost. You know, the first catch that was thrown his way this season, remember, he dropped, and it would have been a first down. And since that point on, you know, they lean towards Dominic Hickson a bit more as the third wide receiver. Obviously, he goes down with an injury. Mario Manningham, the concussion. This was an opportunity, and he rose to the occasion. So I think that's the positive to take away from yesterday's game. As far as him now all of a sudden gaining the starting role, I think that we're jumping a little too ahead of ourselves there. But he is going to be a key playmaker for this squad moving forward.
Yeah, obviously once Mario Manningham gets back from that concussion, he's going to be the starter, and that should be fairly obvious.
And by the way, Victor Cruz, one of the three players that you can vote for on Giants.com as the extra effort player of the game, along with Victor Cruz, Aaron Ross, who certainly had a bounce-back game, and Eli Manning with the four touchdown passes. And also to note, Manning did not turn the ball over. And I think that is probably more impressive.
The whole team didn't.
Yeah.
No question. And you're right, that is impressive. And that was one of the first things head coach Tom Coughlin mentioned in his post-game press conference. And guys, you know what? We didn't turn it over. We didn't give the Eagles the ball on our own territory. We didn't short-circuit one of our own red zone opportunities by throwing it to the other team or fumbling the football. And that's a huge part of this win that gets overlooked. And you mentioned Victor Cruz. One thing he mentioned to me in the locker room after the game when I was talking to him on the radio, he loved the fact that Eli Manning had the confidence in him to throw that final touchdown to him. Because like we said, he was covered pretty tightly. There were two guys in the neighborhood.
And Namdi was one of them.
And who's one of the biggest and most physical quarterbacks in the league. Usually if there's going to be a fight for the ball, he's winning it. And Eli Manning had the confidence to throw the ball just in Victor's direction and said, Victor, I'm going to trust you to go out there and outwork two defenders to make a play. And if Eli has that type of faith in Victor Cruz, we could start seeing a chemistry develop, and maybe he's that slot receiver the Giants have been looking for.
Yeah, which, like you said, it says a lot about Manning, because when a receiver's not making plays for a quarterback, you can make the argument the quarterback no longer has confidence or wants to target that receiver, and clearly they haven't gotten to that point yet.
201-939-4513, Rob's in New Jersey. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on, man?
Good, Rob.
Hey, what's going on, man? I just wanted to ask, I have about two questions right now.
Sure.
I wanted to know, how much pressure do you think we could put on Vic if we actually had the full defensive line? Because he looked like he was struggling the whole game.
It could be scary, and that's the one. No, not one, but that's, I think, the Eagles' major weakness, their offensive line. They're still struggling. I mean, Peters is a very good left tackle, but Pierre-Paul made some plays on him. Harriman's moved out from left guard to right tackle. He had some struggles during the game.
They got a rookie center.
Rookie center, and that's, I think, where the weakness is, Lance, the interior of that offensive line. Kyle DeVan was a 53-man pickup in September, and they're just not that good inside. They're just not that good inside, and the Giants applied pressure without having to blitz a whole lot, and they beat Vic up. And I think, frankly, this whole season he's been screwed up in the head a little bit because he's taken so much contact. He doesn't trust his offensive line to protect him.
Yeah, and that's why I said I thought I saw some hesitancy out of Vic. But here's another thing to take into note regarding the Giants' pressure. And I think even with everybody not fully healthy yet, I still think they did a great job at getting to Michael Vic because he had his fair share of hits. But this was an example yesterday of why the secondary struggled in the first two games that I've been arguing. When you get pressure on the quarterback, that helps the secondary because the quarterback no longer has time to get comfortable in the pocket and throw down the field. And that was one of the reasons why Rex Grossman and Sam Bradford threw for over 300 yards. One of the reasons why Michael Vick didn't throw for over 300 yards because the pass rush was not just good, it was consistent. It wasn't in batches. They did it from the first quarter to the fourth quarter, and that's what's important about the Giants from a defensive perspective. You have a consistent pass rush. The opposing quarterback will not be able to gain any fluidity with his offense, and I think that was on full display yesterday. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. You can also reach out on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. We're also taking a look at Facebook, whatever form of technology you favor, you can chime in here on the conversation. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Mark in Minnesota. Mark, you're on Giants.com. What's on your mind?
My question is Michael Vick, like, really getting targeted, or is he just crying that he gets hit a couple of times?
Quite frankly, I think he's hurting. I think he's literally in pain. He's gotten beaten up, and you mentioned the broken hand, that's obviously going to keep him out, and he's probably not happy about not playing, obviously. But, I mean, his ribs, his knees, his shoulders, I mean, he had the concussion last week. I mean, he's got to imagine he's got to be sitting in that ice tub for hours today because he is getting hit all game long.
Yeah, listen, Jay Cutler's got the same situation. I mean, he's been on the floor left and right.
But Jay Cutler also outweighs Michael Vick by about 40 pounds, and he's 4 or 5 inches taller. Vick's not a big guy.
And listen, the other thing regarding Michael Vick, because I know we had now two calls about the fact that he was complaining after the game, and I understand part of that is out of frustration, and part of that is
Most of it is.
But this was a topic, and I'm not trying to defend the Eagles here. Andy Reid brought up this topic last December to the officials. This is not a new issue. They have bringing to their attention that Michael Vick consistently gets hit. I'm not going to sit here and argue that the refs are not giving him enough flags, but this is not a new topic that they brought up just because of yesterday's game.
Yeah, it's something they've been complaining about for a year, but frankly, I don't think it's justified. When you're a guy like Vick and you run around and you put yourself in harm's way, you're going to get hit more. When you call design running plays like they did on that one third down play, and you send your quarterback running into the linebackers and secondaries, guess what? He's not a quarterback anymore. He's a running back, and he's going to get hit. When he's on the sideline, you don't know if he's going to cut back. You're going to hit him out of bounds. That's just the way it goes. Michael Vick turns himself into a running back, and that's how the defenses treat him, and they should, because at that point, he's not a quarterback anymore.
And especially if you're not sliding, why should the defense hold up? They're going to treat you like you're LeSean McCoy running up the gut.
And rightfully so. And the Eagles have no right to complain. You know what you get into when you have Vic and you run him around like that. 201-939-4513. Scotty in New Jersey. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's going on,
man? Scott?
I noticed the Giants, good game for the Giants yesterday. But I noticed since last season when they played the Saints, they started giving up the big play. They give it up a lot, but they seem to turn on the switch when they get in that red zone. Could it be a part of Perry's strategy to allow the guys to play a little loosely when they're not in the red zone and then turn it up a whole other notch when they're in the red zone?
I think that's part of it. I mean, this is a defense that he had in Buffalo where they gave up a lot of yards in Buffalo, but they didn't give up a lot of points. And I think that's the type of defense you're seeing now, especially with all the injuries they have at cornerback. You're going to see a lot more zone this week. And I know a lot of Giant fans complained about the zone the Giants played in weeks 1 and 2 because they didn't execute it well. Well, you saw more zone than you saw in any of the other games yesterday against Philadelphia, but it worked. They executed the zone well, and I think that's the type of defense you're going to see because, quite frankly, They don't have the personnel to man people up all over the field anymore, Scott. They're going to have to play a lot more like they played the last couple weeks.
All right. Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks
all right,
for the
Scott,
call, Scott. And, you know, it regarding the zone, I think, listen, if they were able to execute it against a talented pool of receivers such as the Eagles, you know, then you question, well, why couldn't they execute it against a less talented group against the Redskins and the Rams? That's why I think this could be an example of a game that could be a launching pad for them.
Agreed.
You know, because the Cardinals, looking forward to next week's game, I think you're back to what the Rams and the Redskins present. Other than Larry Fitzgerald, their receiving core is nothing to necessarily write home about. They lost their second-best receiver to the Chiefs and Steve Breston. They're working in new tight ends now and Todd Heap and Jeff King, and early Doucette is pretty much their primarily second receiver. So they've got some question marks on the offensive side of things. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Alex in Michigan. Alex, you're on Giants.com with John and Lance. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was just wondering, Akeem Nicks only had 25 yards on 3 receptions. What does this mean going into the future if Manningham comes back and Nicks can really get going?
That means the Eagles knew Akeem Nicks was the only Giants accomplished wide receiver in the game. They manned him up, put a safety over the top, and they said, we're going to let everybody but Akeem Nicks beat us. That's all it meant.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
It was just a strategic game plan by the Eagles. That was the bottom. And you can't blame them.
No, I would do the same thing.
I mean, if you're looking at the Giants roster on paper, you know Manningham's out. I'll throw 3 guys at Akeem Nicks and say, Victor Cruz, Brandon Stokley, welcome to the party.
And Victor Cruz said, thanks for inviting me. I'm going to take this party over. And that's what Victor Cruz did.
Let's go to Oscar in Long Island. Oscar, you're on Giants.com. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? Great show. Good morning.
Thanks, Oscar.
Thanks, Oscar.
I just want to know, I mean, we're struggling on the tight end side. You think that we could get any tight end? If it was really, tight ends are a safety blanket in the red zone. You think we can get anybody before the deadline?
At a tight end spot you're talking about or a safety?
Yes. No, tight end.
Well, I'm going to leave this to Schmuck because he wants to reel out his favorite line. Well, why don't you say it at least once? Because I know you're dying to get it out there in regarding to the tight end spot based on yesterday's catch. So why don't you say it? Come on, John. You're itching to say it.
I prefer to let it slide out when it's appropriate. I don't want the obvious setup, but I'll put it this way. The Giants need more production out of their tight ends. And
exactly.
You saw the play yesterday on the 4th and 3 where they ran a nice little pick play and Beckham leaked out towards the outside and Eli hit him. And then for some reason, Beckham ran the route at 2 yards when it was a 3 yards to gain for the first down. And then instead of turning upfield, he just fell down. And as Eli Manning waved his hands in the air in frustration and looked furious, only one thing was going through his mind. Beckham is Beckham.
Yes, there it is. We can all move on now with today's show.
Yes. Yes, correct. That's why.
I mean, listen, to answer your question in terms of picking up a free agent, you know, listen, this was Travis Beckham's first game back. You know, he was still nursing the hamstring injury. I think they're going to continue to monitor the development of Jake Ballard. But, you know, anytime somebody calls up and says, is there anyone on the market, I throw the question back at you. I mean, I can't think of a tight end right now that's sitting on his couch.
There's a reason he's unemployed.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to come in and be the savior to the season. I mean, that's pretty much the simple answer. You got your internal options is what you need to look at first. And I go back to the receiving core. You know, Victor Cruz was an internal option.
Yep.
Why
no
jump
question.
Out and get a Randy Moss when you can give a young guy like this an opportunity to take advantage? And clearly, he had more snaps. He's gaining confidence. He can be a playmaker down the stretch.
Yeah. You're right. Well, thank you very much.
I appreciate the call, and I want to hit Twitter real quick here, Lance. This comes in from Kenyon Noble, and this is like the first. You know, Giant fans love to call in and get on Kevin Gilbride. Got to give credit where it's due, says Kenyon. Kevin Gilbride called a great game yesterday, and he did. And here's why, Lance. He didn't put Eli Manning in the position to turn the ball over. The Giants weren't in a bunch of 3rd and 8s and 3rd and 9s. They ran the football. The Giants average over 4 yards a carry. Bradshaw was 15 for 86, very effective on the ground. They protected Eli Manning. They max protected a little bit. They kept the running back in. They kept the tight end in. They didn't let the Eagles hit him. And they ran the offense to the point where you limited the Eagles' pass rush and you didn't put Eli in the position where he was going to turn the ball over against a very good secondary. I thought it was a very well-crafted game plan by the Giants.
Yeah, other than the two passes to Victor Cruz, I mean, he didn't really go for the home run.
Not at all.
Because he didn't have to, like you said. You know, the draws, the screen plays, it was a very balanced.
A lot of screens.
But it worked because, you know what, you have to think about what the Eagles presented on defense. And this was the best way to counter that attack. Every team is going to present a different defensive philosophy, a different defensive challenge. And I thought that they came in with the perfect game plan to counter it. And you have to give Kevin Gilbride and Eli Manning credit because not only did they have the game plan, but more importantly, they executed it. You could have the perfect game plan on paper, John. If you don't execute it, it doesn't mean anything.
Hey, look, and the quote is always, you don't win a game because you make the most the great plays. You win a game because you make the fewest bad plays. And that was a big part of the Giants' offense yesterday. And look, the offense stalled. In the second and third quarter, the offense didn't do anything. It was
bad. Well,
they
were also barely on the field because the Eagles were milking so much of the clock.
True, too. But they also weren't bad to the point where you're turning it over into a pick six. You're giving the Eagles the ball deep in your own territory. And that really sometimes is half the battle. Back to Twitter real quick. Aaron Kyle Davies wants to know, is Vic in a bit of bad luck or is karma coming his way? And Aaron, I'll say it has very little to do with karma and has a lot more to do with a bad offensive line.
And his style of play.
Yeah,
I mean,
no question.
Michael, that's who Michael Vick is. You know, Vick is Vick. I'm going to steal your line there, okay? You know, he likes to run with the football, and, you know, he puts him out there for the defense. And Nile's a big fan of that joke. I'm trying to get my respect back here in Giants Nation. So, you know, I'm making strides myself.
Well, you know,
just like
Lance,
the players.
When you're at the free throw line, you throw up four or five straight air balls. You need a lot of makes to make up for those air balls. You know what I mean?
You see, this is the type of confidence, Giants fans, that I get from my fellow coworkers.
201-939-4513. Phone's still lighting up. Let's go to Dominic in Pennsylvania. What's up, Dom?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Okay, just so that I can paint the picture for you guys in terms of how I feel about the game.
Paint it.
I live with my girlfriend out in Biglerville, Pennsylvania, so I'm in enemy territory. And I dropped her off to see the game at one location. I went to a different location to watch the game.
Right.
The last thing she said to me was, don't call me crying when the Giants get their asses kicked.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
So her and her family, they're big Eagles fans, and I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm really happy that they could pull it out. And I like to hear less talk about Michael Vick and what we're going to do in the future, because there's a lot of great quarterbacks out there and, you know, a lot of great squads. But my question to you guys is, when people like Umanyora start to come back into the game, how do you guys feel that the coverage is going to be? Is it going to change? Do we keep who's playing good on the field, or do we rotate? Like, how do you guys feel that that's going to play out when these guys start coming back off of the injured reserve list?
Well, you know, I think John briefly touched on it earlier in the show. You know, you get more versatility when you bring guys back in the mix. So what Perry Fuel is going to be able to do is he's going to be able to mix and match a bit with his defensive ends. And remember, OC, when he comes back, is not going to be playing a full length of snaps. It's going to take him time to get back to full force. So Jason Pierre-Paul will still be heavily involved. In terms of how that affects the secondary, I think it's going to depend on the matchup. You know, if the coverage works right now, given the personnel that's on the field, they'll likely still stick with that because that will give their front seven still ample opportunity to get pressure and not kill the secondary. So I don't think the philosophy is going to vastly change, but when you start to get a Prince Amukamara back in the mix, perhaps you may go back to a little bit of a man-to-man given the strength of your personnel.
When do you guys think he's coming back? I know no one. It's not an exact science when he's going to come back, but when do you guys see him coming back?
I'd say the second or third week of October. I don't think he'll be back this week, but I think you can see him back for either the Seattle game or for the Buffalo game. That would be my absolutely uneducated, just kind of guessing from what I've seen type of suggestion.
Okay, and as far as I don't hear any talk about Arizona. Any particular reason why?
Well, we got the whole week to discuss Arizona, but I mean, we could touch on it briefly.
You just beat the Eagles.
Yeah,
I'm just a
big guy on future stuff, not what happened in the past. So, you know, I haven't paid attention to Arizona at all, but. How do we fare up against those guys?
Well, you said, though, you weren't a fan of the pass, but you got to rub it into the girlfriend a little bit more. I mean, come on. You got to milk that a bit.
I started to say her name, but I'm not going to beat up on her, you know?
All right. Well, I'm just saying, you got to ride that out as long as you can.
Lance, remember, you know, he has to live with her.
True.
Long-term pain for long-term gain, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Hey, appreciate the call, my man.
All right, you guys take it easy.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
201-939-4513. And you got to feel good for Giant fans like that in Pennsylvania, because you can only imagine the type of, pain they've had to deal with in the offseason and all the yapping and all the talking. And now all of a sudden, I'm sure Eagle fans are a little bit quieter throughout the Philadelphia area on a Monday morning
this. Listen, I don't think Eagles fans thought they'd be 1-2. After 3 weeks of the season. Granted, I know the competition was pretty stiff in what they played, but you know what? That team had so many expectations. This was not the exact start you wanted. However, you know, you look at other sports. Miami Heat got off to a rough start last season, you know, finished pretty strongly. I'm not trying to get off topic here, but the point I'm making is there's a lot of the season left.
Unfortunately, they're now going to be at their starting quarterback for 3 to 4 weeks.
That's right.
So it's not going to get better anytime soon, and they have some tough games coming up. They got to play Washington. They got to play Buffalo.
Which is your favorite
teams
new
team. That are pretty good. Why are the Bills my favorite new team?
No, well, I'm saying they're clearly for real. I mean, you know, you come back from a big
deficit.
I mean, you got to consider them.
And how about Drayton Florence had the interception against Tom Brady at the end of that game, returned it for a touchdown, and that tied the ball game up before the Bills had a chance to win it. And really, just a great job by the Buffalo Bills. And you know what? That's a loyal fan base. Their ownership doesn't spend any money. All their good players end up leaving in free agency. You got to feel good for the Bills fans today, because they, you know, as great as the Giants win was yesterday, the Bills win was probably 2 or 3 times better.
Well, oh, I'm not going to argue there. And the Bills, I think, are another perfect example of a franchise that gives its internal options time to flow. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, they could have went out and got a new quarterback in the offseason. They could have picked somebody up in the draft, but Chan Gailey stuck to his guy, said he's his man. And look, Fitzpatrick has some young talent around him, and now they're clicking.
I should have Neely make a call. We can simulcast on Bills.com.
Absolutely.
201.
Or ArizonaCardinals.com. Give us some time.
Yeah. Let's go to Colette in New York. Colette, what's going on?
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
Listen, I wanted to know what your take was on this. I just saw the post-game interview of Michael Vick, and, you know, boo-hoo, he got knocked to the ground too many times. The refs aren't making calls. I mean, I watched the game. How much of it is him scrambling in his offensive line, not getting the job done, as opposed to, you know, boo-hoo, they're not making the calls on me. I'm getting knocked down too many times.
To me, the Giants didn't do anything illegal. None of their hits were late. They didn't make any illegal hits to the head, no face masks, no low hits below the knees. Colette, I didn't see the Giants do anything illegal. And Lance and I spoke about this earlier in the show. His style, like you just pointed out, lends itself to getting hit. When he tucks the ball and runs, he's no longer a quarterback. He's a running back. And those rules that protect the quarterback are no longer afforded to him. So unless he changes his style, and just like you said as well, the offensive line decides to block somebody once in a while, these are the problems that Mike Vick's going to have. He should be mad at his offensive line and the play calling, not at the Giants. They're doing their job.
Yeah, but he's not going to sit there in a post-game interview and call out his offensive line to all the fans and be like, hey, my O-line's not doing the job to protect me, and that's why I got knocked down and I broke my hand, and how long am I going to be out? I don't know. I was a Mike Vick fan for a little while. You know, wished the guy well on his comeback. Now he's just sounding like a little too much of a crybaby to me.
Listen, Colette, no argument here. What you have to understand, it's a media ploy. You know, he's trying to get the ear of the officials so that in the future when he gets back on the field, they may think twice about throwing a flag for him. I mean, that's pretty much all it is. It's a strategy. But you're right. He's not going to sit there and throw his offensive lineman under the bus, because those guys got to block for him, at least attempt to, the rest of the season. And that would create chaos in the locker room. And remember, this is a guy that's also trying to repair his reputation after a lot of issues off the field.
Thanks for the call, Colette. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
And here comes our second NBA reference I'm about to make. For all you people that love watching the NBA and the NBA Finals, whenever the Lakers or the Bulls had a bad loss, and maybe Michael Jordan, instead of getting 20 out of 20 calls, he just got 19 out of 20 calls, Phil Jackson would have his post-game press conference and complain about the officials, whine and complain and whine and complain. And lo and behold, the next game, the Bulls would have 20 more free throws than the opposing team. That's the type of thing I think that Michael Vick's trying to do in these post-game press conferences.
Gave Hubert Davis a big edge back in the day, certainly.
Yeah, the one called the Knicks getting Bulls fans still managed to complain about it. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Victor down in Texas. What's up, Victor?
Hey, Victor.
Vance, you know I'm following you, buddy. What's up?
How we doing, Victor? What's on your mind, man?
Hey, man, I'm outstanding. You know what? This is an outstanding win, like I said before, because, I mean, we went there with so much less, I mean, with so much new blood, and we took it to the Eagles. I mean, we beat a very, very, very good team out there, and everything was clicking. Everything was on point, you know, from the coaching staff. And we didn't even get a lot of help from our special teams besides the punting. I'm talking about kick return and punt return. And just thinking about that, if we had all those things clicking, would we still be that good or would we be better? You know, and I'm looking at guys coming back. I mean, is Mario Manningham is going to have any issues with his spot? I mean, Victor Cruz, you know, kind of exploded in here. And looking at another wide receiver that I want to see out there, Ramsey Barden. When is this guy going to come back? And when is he going to get on the field? And Travis Beckham, I mean, Beckham is Beckham is what the new word is now. I want to see him do something on the field, but I got to give it to Jake Ballard, you know, that offensive line. And Amon Bradshaw, a beast. How much of a beast was he? We didn't even use Brandon Jacobs that much, you know. But Bradshaw is just clearly a beast. I hope that he could stay healthy and we could use him throughout the year. Just give me some more take on what you guys think. And Mondays are awesome after a Giants.
Oh, absolutely. And listen, Victor, we got a call earlier about looking forward to the Cardinals game. So if you have any, you know, breakdowns already, I know you put it together throughout the course of the week. If you got X's and O's regarding the Cardinals, feel free to throw it out today or later on in the week because we'll be expected to hear from you.
Oh, definitely, man. Hey, if you can keep me online so I can hear your comments, I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
But definitely, you know I'm going to give you my My dissertation.
I wouldn't expect anything less. But let's hit on a couple of points that you brought up, Victor. As far as the receiving core, Ramsey's Barden's on the PUP list, so he can't come back until after week 6. He's still rehabbing the leg. As far as whether or not he can make an immediate impact once he's healthy, that remains to be seen, but certainly, you know, gives you height in the passing game. Mario Manningham, you know, listen, he's still going to be a big playmaker in this offense. You know, you're assuming that he's going to pass all his tests this week, and the expectations are that he will return for the Cardinals game. I don't think Victor Cruz is going to take over the starting spot,
no.
But this is a positive sign moving forward, John, that Cruz has at least solidified that third spot.
Well, and the Giants use 3 wideouts a lot. They need somebody to assert himself in the slot, and they hope Victor Cruz can do that. But it's funny, and I kind of just, this kind of clicked with me now. I think all 3 of Victor Cruz's big plays didn't come out of the slot. I think they came out of him lining up outside,
That's
didn't
a good
it?
Point. They did.
I don't know what that means, but I figured I'd throw it out there anyway. 201-939, Victor. And a great caller, by the way. Victor's one of our favorite callers here on Giants.com. We appreciate it. Take it easy as I cut Victor off there. My bad. 201-939-4513. Let's go to William down in Virginia. William, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on with you, man? You know, I'm just sitting here listening to these guys, you know, going on about the Giants. Love the Giants. Born and bred. My first game was with my uncle at Giants Stadium.
Nice.
You know? I'm down in Virginia now. You can take me out of New York, but you can't take the Giants out.
No, I hear you, man. What's on your mind?
Man, I'm thinking about our defense. Don't get me wrong. Our defense, like a lot of people say, is in a lot of new blood. There's a lot of different things. And when people start coming back, and since this defense is starting to click, will certain people's positions be, you know, threatened? We got big games coming up. Arizona, Seattle, Buffalo. Miami, you know, a lot of people with good defense. We got New England. We got people with defense. And let's not forget that we lost to the Redskins. And I'm here in Virginia, and I got all this burgundy and gold around me. It's killing me. You know what I'm saying? We have to focus. Are these positions solidified for some of these new guys, or is it come as we go? You know, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, are you talking about our players have solidified their positions on defense, are we talking about? Is that okay?
Defense.
Well, I mean, listen, you know, the depth
There's
chart.
A lot of new blood that they're showing their talent. Our middle linebacker, you know, can't think of his name right offhand.
Greg Jones, you're talking about.
He showed his stuff yesterday. You know, he put a few good hits out there, almost got a few picks, you know, did some good tackles out there. In the beginning there, in the first half, we was, like, missing tackles. Even though we were up, we were still missing tackles. We were giving up, giving those guys the chance to get those first downs. And you know what I'm saying? All those stats count.
No, you're right. Listen, they were wrapping up LeSean McCoy at times. They just couldn't get him down. But, you know, part of the game plan certainly was sacrificing the run a bit so you wouldn't give up the big play. As far as guys solidifying their roles on defense, listen, the bottom line is the depth chart is what it is at this point. So, you know, there's not a lot of competition going on in practice. And that maybe could be looked as a bad thing because normally when you have a lot of guys fighting for the same spots, it raises the level of competition in practice, you know, and really make sure that everybody brings their A game each and every day. The linebacking core, which you just alluded to, listen, Greg Jones is the middle linebacker. I mean, Jonathan Goff is out for the season. He tore his ACL. You know, Boley, thought, had a solid game. He's surrounded by two veterans, remember. He's got Kiwanuka and he's got Boley. And Jaquan Williams, I thought, you know, played a decent game yesterday. He has also shown some flashes in the first three games of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Giants played a ton of nickel, which is not surprising. The Eagles line up a lot of three and four wide receivers. And Jaquan Williams plays nickel linebacker with Michael Boley. And I thought he flew around the field. But I think you got to give Boley a lot of credit. I thought he played another excellent game. I think he's played three very good games this year. And I think, you know, Giant fans are probably a little disappointed in him his first two seasons here after the big contract. But, boy, this year he's playing out of his mind. Michael Boley's had a great early season.
And, listen, if he stays healthy, he's showing the type of athleticism, which is why they brought him in. There was all this talk when he came over from the Falcons how of athletic a linebacker he is. Well, we're starting to see glimpses of that, and the reason being he's healthy. If he can stay healthy, he can be a productive member of this defense moving forward. That's the key for him.
I want to go back to Twitter, and Jonathan Sherman, who's one of our most loyal tweeters during the show, by the way, he does an excellent job, and he makes a great point. Vic's 70-yard catch was from the slot. He actually lined up inside, and then he went outside to make the play. I believe he's right about that. I haven't a chance to rewatch the game and look at the tape. But now that he mentions it, I think he was right. But still, that's not one of those traditional middle of the field slot plays where you're getting inside you're getting over the linebackers inside the safeties. But
well, and also given the fact
great
that
tweet.
Manningham was out yesterday, it's understandable that Cruz was moved around and not playing solely in the slot.
Yeah, he was the starter. Outside, no question. He did. And thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Back to Pennsylvania. Another trash talking Giants fan is very happy this morning, and it's Robert. What's up, pal?
How you doing, guys? God bless both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robert.
All right, just want to say, first of all, man, I'm happy for my Giants being here in Allentown, PA. I also go through the, you know, Eagles, you know, now I can't look forward to going to work, man, and just putting my Giants stuff because there's, like, more than 20 Eagles fans there. They're all going to be trying to trash me, but when I get there, I'm going to trash all of them. You know, the dream team, the Giants yesterday just turned them into the nightmare team.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, and I really appreciate it. My question to you guys is, when do you guys expect OC to come back?
I think he'll play this week. I think you'll see him try to work in practice on Wednesday. And again, I don't know what the doctors are saying. I'm not in there checking his knee out. Or you don't want me in there checking his knee out. But I think there's a chance he'll play this week. This is about the end part of where their timetable was when he had the surgery. I think there's a decent chance you'll see him play this week, but we'll know more on Wednesday when Tom Coughlin gives the injury report.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate that. You keep on the good job, man. Go Giants!
Thanks a lot, Rob.
Do the best we can.
Don't sell yourself short. I mean, listen, the reason why Travis Beckham made it back this week is because you worked on his hamstring all week. Clearly.
That did not happen. And Lance, you're being a little creepy. 201-939-4513. Let's stay in New Jersey now and say what's up to Scott. Scotty, what's up, pal?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, Scotty, what's
I was just wondering how come the coaches don't give our rookies, our young players, more reps.
What do you mean?
Like, if Cruz dropped the pass, it didn't look like he was going to be coming back the rest of the season if Hickson didn't get injured and they threw Cruz back in it. I was wondering, Jarrell Jernigan, we got some speedy guys, Darrell Scott. We don't use them anywhere on the field. I was just wondering. And then there's a Matt Dodge, we got rid of him, you know. I don't see nothing from Weathersford yet. I'm kind of shaky. Can we go back and get Dodge if we have to?
Well,
Whoa, wait. I gotta stop you there in terms of the Matt Dodge, Steve Weatherford argument. Weatherford arguably had the key play yesterday on the hard count with Zach Diassi to pull off the Eagles to have defensive offsides, and that continued the drive, and the Giants went on to score a touchdown that sealed the game. So if anything, Steve Weatherford, you could argue he was the MVP of the game. Granted, he did have
one kick, but I don't see nothing special.
Well, that wasn't even a kick. He didn't even use his legs on the play.
One play. I don't see nothing special. But, Cruz, it didn't look like he was going to get back on the field if Hickson didn't get hurt. Giants give up too quick on our young players, it seemed like. And they mess up one time and they don't see the field. Go back to them, you know. And that's what they do to the veterans. If a veteran drop the ball, you try to go back to him. You know what I mean? Get his confidence back.
Hey, look, Scott,
They throw our young players back on the bench. That's what I
Hey, Scott, look, I understand Cruz did drop that first pass. And, you know, Eli didn't throw at him a lot after that. That doesn't mean he wasn't in the game. Victor Cruz still got plenty of snaps the rest of that game and the next week. But if the quarterback doesn't have confidence in you, that's something different than the coaching staff not giving him an opportunity. That's one. Number two, back on Weatherford for a second. How many big opportunities did DeSean Jackson have to return punts yesterday?
How many opportunities did DeSean Jackson
Not many.
And that's
because Weatherford kicked it out of bounds and he kicked the ball high. So you got to give Steve Weatherford credit for that. And finally, in terms of young players, you saw Jaquan Williams play a ton. He was a sixth-round draft pick. And he was on the field a lot yesterday. So you saw the Giant youth and some of their new players do a lot to help you win that game.
Right. I seen Jaquan more than I seen Jones.
Well, the reason you saw Jaquan more than you saw Greg Jones is because Greg Jones is your 4-3 middle linebacker in running spots. Greg Jones is not on the field in the nickel. Your two nickel linebackers are Boley and Jaquan Williams. That's not part of Greg Jones' package because his strength right now is stopping the run is not necessarily being in coverage.
And your third question, Darrell Scott was inactive yesterday, and Jarrell Jernigan was active for the first time. You know, but the bottom line is right now Aaron Ross is your main punt returner. Could you see Jernigan down the line? Absolutely, and I think they are going to try to get him more involved. But remember, he had a rough preseason, so he, like Victor Cruz, has a lot to prove. He needs that statement type of game that Cruz pulled out yesterday. So that's why you haven't seen so much of Jernigan. And Darrell Scott, listen, he proved he's a playmaker in the preseason, but number one, he's got to be active to contribute. And number two, if he's going to contribute, it's going to be on special teams. There is too much depth at running back right now for you to throw Scott in there and have him surpass guys like Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw. They're just not going to do that.
It's funny. We've talked about all this stuff, and I hate to break it down to something simple with this game, but I'm going to try to do that. The first couple weeks, it always seemed to be the Giants could never make the big play when they had to, whether offensive or defense, getting the other team off the field, converting a big third down. The Giants never made that play when the time was right. That script, I thought, Lance, this week got totally turned on its head. It was the Giants that made the interception that stopped the Eagles inside the red zone. They made the goal line stop. They made the big play to Victor Cruz twice. The Giants simply executed better and made the plays when they had to in this game, and the Eagles didn't. And frankly, a lot of that was because of the Giants' defense.
Yeah, and they were the aggressor, too. You know, they were the team that didn't wait back for the plays to come to them. I mean, even the Aaron Ross interception, granted, you can make the argument DeSean Jackson gave up on his route, but he went to the football. How many times have we seen where the corner is looking up and giving the wide receiver ample opportunity to jump up and beat him on the play?
Yep.
So he jumped
and he got the ball. He caught that in midair. It was not an easy interception. And you just got to give the Giants credit all around for that win. All right, we got about a minute left in the show here. Lance and I, of course, kind of joke around each week. We kind of pick some of the games around the league. And both of us were just terribly mediocre.
Oh, so somebody's not boasting this week all of a sudden.
Both of us picked equally.
Well, I wasn't even boasting last. Well, how could I boast? I was only 3-2.
Well, and I still have a two-game lead on you in the standings, which
the
is,
The season
of
is
course,
young, my friend. Well, the season is young.
Not young enough for you. We obviously still have the game tonight, Cowboys-Redskins, which has some impact on the Giants, obviously. If the Cowboys manage to win that game, the Giants, Redskins, and Cowboys will all be tied in a three-way tie for first place, 2-1. If the Redskins win, obviously they're 3-0. They would be in first place in the division. Lance and I both think, despite their injuries, that the Cowboys in their home opener will probably manage to pull out a victory tonight. But I think it'll be a pretty close game, Lance. It should be exciting.
Well, all signs are pointing now to that Tony Romo gave the heads up yesterday that he'll play. It looks like Dez Bryant's going to play. I mean, Felix Jones may be the only question mark, but it's not just the big playmakers. They've got injuries to their secondary, their offensive line. I mean, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think it's going to be a close game because of that factor. But, you know, it's the Cowboys' home opener. You know, this is a Redskins team that, you know, I don't know if I'm sold on them yet. You know, we've seen some ups and downs.
Well, I'll tell you what, they'll have a chance now in front of a national TV audience to sell people. This is a big game for the Redskins, and I'm sure Daniel Snyder's very excited about it.
Well, you know who I think the X factor in this game is for the Redskins.
It's Fred Davis.
Well, there we go. I mean, come on.
Lance actually has his Fred Davis jersey on today, by the way.
You know,
you guys can't see it, but he has it. The only one manufactured by NFL.com. Actually, two. One for Fred Davis's mom and the other for Lance Meadow.
Well, the Jermaine Wiggins jersey were out of stock, so I had to go elsewhere.
That's true. The other four games I thought yesterday were interesting. The Bucs and Falcons. The Bucs, I think, made a bit of a statement game there. The Falcons had a chance to win it at the end, but Roddy White dropped the pass, which could have turned into a first down late in the game. I thought that was interesting. The Packers continue to beat up Jay Cutler and the Bears. Until they protect that quarterback, Lance, the Bears are not going to take that next step.
Look at the box score for every Bears game. Why is Matt Forte the leading receiver? Because all Cutler has time to do is drop it off to his running back. Until they get him protection, that Bears offense is going to be somewhat lackluster, and they're going to rely on their defense to make plays. I don't think they could get through the season like that.
We already touched on Patriots-Bills. And Texans-Saints, it looks like the Texans had that game. They had that very fortunate play where it ricocheted off a couple defenders right to Kevin Walter for the touchdown. But then it's still the Texans' defense. They can't get a stop when they need it. It's unbelievable.
Listen, I'm a big fan of Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator, so I don't know what's going on here. You're right. The Texans, the problem with them is they can score all the points they want.
They can't stop.
But they can't stop anyone when it comes to a shootout, and that's why they lose those close games. You know, they always get off. This is the same script we've seen from the Texans. Get off to a strong start, but then when it comes to crunch time, they dropped the ball in key situations.
Great job by the fans. Say you carried us all show long like you always do. Excellent work, of course, tomorrow morning. I will be here with Michael Eisen. Howard Cross will join us as well. 9:30 to 10:30, Big Blue Kickoff Live, Tuesday morning. Then, of course, every day this week, rotating host, Big Blue Kickoff Live, 9:30 to 10:30. You have Coach Coughlin's presser later on today. Do we have an exact time on that yet, Eli? Not yet. So stay tuned to Giants.com for that. I'm thinking sometime in the afternoon, so make sure you keep your eye on that. And, of course, we'll hear from the players in the locker room as well. Lance, appreciate it as always.
Fun as always.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us at Giants on Twitter. Make sure you follow them. Become a fan of theirs on Facebook at facebook.com/NewYorkGiants and download the Giants' brand new mobile app on your phone's app store, BlackBerry App World, the Android Marketplace, or, of course, on iTunes. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelk. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time on Big Blue Hits Live right here on Giants.com.
Have a good one.